I'm going to tell you a story. Someone else will be showing you this story, but you will just have to wait a few minutes to see that. Today's story is about a man called Jacob. Here he is. Years before, Jacob had tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright and his father's blessing. And now he had heard that his brother had a huge army, and Jacob was afraid that his brother was going to kill him. Feeling nervous there, Jacob? Pretty nervous. So Jacob prayed to God to remember the promise that God gave him and to save him from his brother. Then he took some goats, sheep, camels, cows, and donkeys and sent them ahead of him to Esau, his brother, to make him less angry. That night, Jacob sent all his family across the stream and with all their possessions, and Jacob was left alone when a man wrestled with him until daybreak. In the left corner, we have the descendant of Abraham, son of Isaac, child of the promise. We have Jacob. Give him a hand. And we have a mystery guest. In the other corner, we have the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, G-O-D with a capital G. We have God. Give him a hand. There he is. Ooh, it's not looking like an even match right now. I can see the competitors are already giving them eyes. What do you think, Jacob? What do you think?
Gulp.
Yep. He's thinking. This is all biblically accurate for anyone who is wondering. Mystery man, what are your thoughts about the match?
He's going down. I know.
He's going down. Do you have a motive? Do you have any motive?
I'm all knowing. And
He has a motive. God has a motive here. 3, 2, 1, fight. This is going to be an interesting match. Oh, they're getting into it. They're getting into each other. Here he comes. Oh, he's giving him the old Uncle Abraham. Oh, and he's got him down like Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's go. The pile. It's not looking good for Jacob. He's off the mat. Can he get back up? Can he save this? Oh, he's tucking him down. It's looking like an even match. I don't know when either of them are going to break. Oh, my goodness. What an absolute stinker of a fight. Are they playing fair? Are they not? Who knows? When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Then the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Give him a round of applause, everybody. Pretty even fight, I think. There were some crazy moves there. Well done. When the sun rose, Jacob looked up and saw his brother Esau approaching in the distance. As Esau approached, Jacob bowed down 7 times, afraid that his brother had come to kill him. But suddenly, Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau had forgiven and accepted his brother after all these years. End scene.
Well done. I am never reading the story of Jacob wrestling with God the same again. Good job, boys. Can we hire you out for kids' parties and that sort of thing? Cool. Well, do we have some fun packs for the kids? I think we do. Kids, Nicola is bringing out some fun things for you to color in, and there is actually a section you can take some notes on what I'm talking about today if you'd like to take some notes and try and remember what I talk about. Bring a little take home for you for that story of Jacob wrestling with God. And the more I read about Jacob, the more I realize he's a bit of a spoiled brat, this kid. He's mum's favorite child. I'm not my mum's favorite child, and I've just accepted that. Maybe you are, I don't know. But his mum's favourite child, and him and his mum work together to make sure that he gets the birthright that is supposed to be his brother's, right? So they're conniving a way that he can steal his brother's birthright. And eventually he finds a time that his brother is, you know, he's hungry enough, and he takes advantage of that and he steals the birthright from his brother. And it's not the only time that Jacob's sneaky. There's multiple times where Jacob does things that you're just like, mate, you're not doing yourself any favors in terms of winning friends here, all right? And it got me thinking, he's kind of like the typical, like, heir to the throne of the successful business, like, third or fourth generation kid that is just, like, just completely entitled to what he doesn't deserve, right? And we know these kind of people from movies or from the real world. And so we have Abraham, his grandfather, who is promised by God to be the father of nations, right? And that the whole world would be blessed through him. And so this is the grandson. He's entitled. He's like, yeah, I'm carrying the promise. And every time he rips someone off, he's just kind of like unremorseful about it, like, sweet. And the only time he begins to show remorse for his decision is when his big brother Esau, who was the hunter of the family, he finds out that Esau is coming to hunt him. And this would be a pretty scary thing. And it's interesting what he does. He comes to this camp. He's on a journey. He comes to this camp. He meets angels of God. And he goes, wow, this must be the camp of God, is what he says earlier in the chapter before he wrestles God. And then he finds out Esau's coming for him. And Esau has brought 400 men with him. And so he's like, oh, great. It's all coming back. I'm going to die. And he comes to this point where he does everything that he could physically do in his power to help make his situation better. He sends out all this livestock as gifts towards Esau. He sends out a messenger towards Esau to find out Esau's intention and to let him know that Jacob is so grateful and thankful that he's coming and all of this sort of stuff. And he separates his camp. One camp goes all the way over there and one camp goes all the way over there so that if Esau does attack, at least one camp will have time to get away and while the other one is destroyed. And so he does everything in his power to try and mitigate the issues going on. But it comes to his attention that that's still not enough. And so at that point, he sends everyone away from him and he camps at the place that he calls the camp of God. And what he does is he says to God, he says, I remember the promise you gave to my grandfather Abraham. And I remember that you promised, that promise carries on through me, that you promised that we'd be the father of many nations. And so because of that promise, you need to save me here, God. And then we know that God comes and God doesn't grant him immense strength or an army or anything like that. God wrestles with him. I thought this was really significant that God would wrestle with Jacob rather than give him what he seemingly needed or give him the answer to what he's asking for. It was a wrestle. And I'm sure you can kind of relate to that feeling where there are times that are frustrating or hard or seemingly insurmountable. And there is sort of this wrestling feeling that we're doing with God. Now, we know from the scripture that Jacob wrestles right from when God initiates the wrestle with him through till daybreak. And it had been going so long that God puts out his hip. So this is a long wrestle. I don't think it would have been as quick as that. And I think maybe more words would have been shared than that. I think maybe a part of the wrestling with God, maybe Jacob's thinking about all of the wrestling that he's done. Remember at the end of this, God says to Jacob, I name you Israel because you have wrestled with God and with men. And so there is this conversation probably that's going on between the two of them where there's an understanding that he has wrestled throughout his life. He wrestles his brother's inheritance off him. He wrestles his wife and his second wife off of his uncle Laban. He wrestles in order to be able to actually succeed under Laban because Laban is also tricky and tries to deceive Jacob. And so there's this wrestling that's been going on throughout Jacob's life, and now is no different. And seemingly he's about to have to wrestle with his brother Esau. But there are a few things that really stuck out to me. The first thing was this. In the wrestling with God, Jacob remembered the faith of his generations. When we look at the fact that Abraham was given the promise and that was passed on down to Isaac and then to Jacob, somewhere in that passing down, they'd been faithful to telling the next generation about the promise of God, their experiences with God. Their own personal encounter with God was passed down from generation to generation. And that got me thinking about my own walk with God and the things that I discover. And, you know, one of the most fulfilling things I got to do throughout my degree in ministry was that I got to interview my grandfather about his experience with revival. And I have this voice recording from him that's going to become so valuable when he eventually passes, of him just telling all of the amazing things that he saw in church, right from before he went to church in Gilgandra and the Holy Spirit came upon him, right all the way through to coming out to Penrith and helping start the church there, which is now called Imaginations Church. And just amazing, like hearing all the stories there. And I realized as I'm gathering these stories from my grandfather that I'm a part of a generational legacy of God being faithful to his people. And you are a part of that legacy too. You might be the first one in that chain of your legacy of generational faithfulness from God. Or maybe you're the one of many in the chain. But the exciting part is that we get to pass it on. There's a real challenge for me to go, are my children going to grow up knowing the promises that God has for his people because of my stories of his faithfulness in my life? The second thing that I found really stood out to me about the story of Jacob wrestling with God is this. Jacob, seemingly for the first time, needed to know what it was like to have his own relationship with God. You know, up until this point, he's the entitled grandson of the famous patriarch Abraham, who maybe wasn't that famous yet, but you know, God himself speaks to Abraham. He brings him victory. He promises amazing things. And then begins to just bless him out of this world with all of this amazing increase. And so Jacob's the inheritor of all of these things. And he's the inheritor of his father's and his grandfather's faith. But there comes a point where he needs to go, God, I need to actually seek you on my own. And it comes to him at rock bottom. Esau's coming for him and he thinks he's going to die by the hand of Esau and his 400 men. And at rock bottom, he cries out to God. It's like he finally realized that he can't do this on his own strength or his father's strength or his grandfather's strength. He needs to do this on his strength. So not only was the fact that we pass on to our generations and we receive what has been passed on from generations above us so significant to me, but there was this real weight of responsibility as I was reading this that unless we know what it's like to wrestle with God ourselves, we don't actually see the victory. You know, Jacob could have sent all of that livestock. He could have been sending all of the peaceful negotiators ahead of him that he could. And he could have made all the plans to separate the camps and to try and run away and all of that that he could. But it wouldn't have been enough. He needed to know what it was like to wrestle with God himself. I don't know what you might be going through right now, but I'm sure you've got stuff. Everyone has stuff. I want to encourage you, whatever you're wrestling with right now, would you wrestle with God over it? It doesn't mean that God just goes, there you go, all is better. Jacob wrestled all night with God. And God, during that wrestle, was preparing Esau's heart for his brother. So I want to challenge you with this thought. Whatever you're going through right now, would you wrestle with God over it? Because your generations that are to follow see that wrestle. And they begin to take on just another story of the faithfulness of God because you wrestled with God over hard things. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you call us not just to be receivers of a great legacy, but to be passers on of a great legacy. And so, Lord, we pray that as you wrestle with us over things in our world and whatever we're facing right now, over parenting decisions or over job decisions or over lifestyle decisions, whatever it is, God, as we wrestle with these things, God, would you help us to wrestle with you over them? And God, we pray that as we do that, you'd call us out on all of the times that maybe we were not doing what you'd asked us to do or living the way you've called us to live. But God, that through that wrestle, we would in ourselves change in our heart of hearts. And also our situations would change to bring you glory. And Lord, let us never forget that we pass on the stories of your faithfulness to our next generations. We pray. In your name, amen. Amen.